The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Yahoo! Well, mahalo's Els for another Els Bells good show. And DJ Schutz, hope the puppy's feeling better. It's a beautiful, quiet afternoon, and I'm Laura Christine with my hair cut off. Getting ready for an out-of-the-box special. It's a little bit after 4. Brother Tim is on his way. You are where you're at, and you're listening to Kauai Community Radio. I got to do some top-of-the-hour kind of stuff, even after the fact, to let you know that this out-of-the-box show is made possible by the good folks at Kalaheo Chiropractic, Louis Soltran and Soltran Brothers Construction, and Ching Young. We'll get these guys up on the radio soon enough.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Lewis and Eddie Soltran Construction, 639-4836, building quality on Kauai for over 25 years. New custom homes, remodeling, and repairs. Exclusive dealer for Talia's Hurricane Roll-Down Shutters Protection for your home. Lewis and Eddie Soltran Construction, 639-4836, or SoltranConstruction.com.
Ching Young Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Ching Young, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I am going to give you a brief overview of today's show. It's really going to be an open format. Got open phone lines. If you want to join the conversation, 826-7771. I'll be answering phones for as long as I can. If I need some assistance, hopefully I'll find that as well. Looking to hear what's on your mind. What's going on in your part of the world? We are going to be broadcasting a live event this afternoon, this evening, from the Kauai Community College Performing Arts Center. Last night we broadcasted live an event that was at the, let me get this right, I think it was the Niamalu Canoe Hale at Kalapaki, and that will be the site for a future upcoming Apollo Kauai meeting in that same location. I think it's the last Wednesday of the month in August. It'll be after the fair, which is coming up mid-August this year, a little bit earlier than usual. Anyways, KKCR here for you, broadcasting live. If you would like to speak to your brothers and sisters out in the universe on this radio station, give us a call at 826-7771. Or if you're off-island and would like to get in on the groove, it is easy to reach us by phone at, if I remember correctly, it's 866-275-1112 on the beautiful Garden Island of Kauai in the middle of the Pacific, to be specific. We are broadcasting a community affairs program. This out-of-the-box program is one of several community affairs programs where we bring guests into the booth, into the house, and share with you, the listeners. Aloha, Ellie. Thanks. Have a wonderful afternoon. Return to work. My colleague and volunteer, Ellie, leaving us, getting back to her business. And thanks again for helping with the transition from one show to the other. She talked a little bit about some of that violence and guns and whatnot. So it made me think about a song I'd like to play because it's been on my mind of late. Here we go, Warren Zevon classic. And then we'll get right back to our community radio public affairs show out of the box. Let me see if I can get this happening without any major glitches.
Do. How was I to know desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money. The shit has hit the fan. Guns and money. Send lawyers, guns and money. Send lawyers, guns and money.
Fading out there with Bald-Headed Rick on the line. That was a nice one. Got a request for the Giving Tree Band, so we'll have to see how that goes. I'm going to pick up this line and see if we can get, if you want to call up and talk on the radio, we go like this. Aloha, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, terrific. Caller. Thank you for calling.
Well,
you're live on the air as we speak.
Well, wow, I just wondered.
Music too.
KKCR.
Yeah, you are listening to KKCR, and we got a little Warren Zevon track happening as we speak. But fire away. What do we got going on?
Thanks, man. Is this like James Trujillo and the boys, or what?
This is Jimmy Trujillo with Celebrity Dove coming into the booth as we speak.
Well, right on, man. My name is Hoppa Hendrix.
Oh, brother Hoppa, how are you?
I am wonderful, man. I like promised I'd call in today.
Well,
and
yeah.
So
you...
I have not heard what's going on in your world, but, you know, hey, man, mad love to you.
Right on. Oh, mad love to you as well. We were just doing a little Facebooking not too long ago, and the mention of calling in from Florida, that's where you're at these days?
Yeah, I'm doing a TV show at the Hard Rock Casino called Rockin' Idol, which is American Idol for rock and roll bands. And, you know, still trying to push my cancer cure to the world. And everybody I talk to seems to be dying over here. So, I don't know, I thought maybe I shouldn't talk to anybody anymore. But I wanted to give a shout-out to you guys.
Yeah, well, Hoppa, it was a very, if you will, entertaining and informational campaign for the mayoral spot here on the island of Kauai. You and Dustin Barca and Miss Debs Carvero trying to challenge the incumbent mayor, Bernard Carvalho Jr., you being one of the four candidates vying for that big top dog seat. Of course, we know now we weren't successful, but it was enjoyable having you here, part of the, if you will, campaign to expose the things that need to be exposed here on Kauai. And we know after the campaign, you decided to venture out onto the mainland looking for a little research and was it kind of looking at a cure for cancer, if I remember right, something along those lines? Am I right?
Yeah, man, you kind of got it right. I had some connections with some military industrial complex type technology that has not made it into the civilian sector yet. And I must say that in 1986, when I joined the NSTIR group, or the military industrial complex, they told me that for every single year the civilian sector advances in technology, we advance 9 years. So, and that was back in 1986. So to, like, bring that forward a few years, it's like almost like we're experiencing the tight end of the spiral as opposed to technology that has been, you know, not been covered up and not allowed to be access to the civilian sector. And even in my, you know, mayoral race, I said, hey, man, my initial campaign slogan I thought should be, you know, Magneto Levitron chains that go Mach 2 for everybody and not just those with a Rhyolite 38 top secret clearance or higher. And I thought nobody would understand that. So I tried to bring it down a bit. But, I mean, the point is, hey, man, there's really great technology that's in the world and it should be shared with the masses.
Right. And I guess this is leading up to what you shared online about the was it the either suspicious or mysterious death of 8 physicians in the Southern Florida area?
Yeah, man, I'm in the middle of that crap. That really sucks. It harkens back to a time where I used to do surveillance on medical doctors. Surveillance on medical doctors for this cat named Senator Daniel Inouye. Now, Daniel Inouye was like the head dude for this company that I used to work for called NSTARE. NSTARE is like, National Security Threat Assessment Risk Evaluations. And so he hired a bunch of cats to work for him that had like top secret security clearances, was EWOC trained, which is electronic warfare operator course, which I went through in Fort Devens, Massachusetts. And then like got to like study like remote viewing with this cat named Major Ed Baines, who everything that he taught me was classified. And now that cat is doing like, you know, he's doing like seminars all across the country and making a lot of money teaching remote viewing, which is basically astral projection. But from a surveillance perspective, it's like the ultimate way to tune into or surveil like the greatest people in the world, like Oliver Stone and Nelson Mandela and the Bolivian president. Man, I like spend so many hours on the wire with those cats. It's like our government really needs to understand they really did need to understand how these people thought. So they put me on that wire to give them the intelligence.
And so this, if you will, this technology is kind of like having a drone without needing to have a remote control nor battery packs or anything like that. You can just kind of like check in that way.
Yeah, bro, you're exactly right, man. Because hey, it's like we could tune in and they spent $20 million on my program. It was called Operation Stargate. And this cat named Major Ed Baines taught us all how to remote view. And I actually failed out of the course initially. It wasn't until I had like this near-death experience where I understood that remote viewing ideograms could be like pulsed, like in a way where astral projection works, where you can literally like look into a reality as a passive observer, but pick a time. And so I did that for your Democratic senator from Hawaii, Daniel Inouye, for 12 years. So anybody he wanted me to find, I did it. You know, moving away from that, it was shocking because now I can't even find a job to, like, wash dishes. It's very weird.
You're over skilled and overqualified.
Yeah, man, I kind of feel that way in reality.
So you do the next best thing and starting a rock and roll revolution in the throes of Boca Raton, Florida?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, man. That's just, you know, one of my passions. Music has always been my passion, and I've always felt that people in the music industry, whether, you know, pop or pope, has always humbled me. It's like... music is the speech of angels, and that angelic speech has always resonated very strongly with me. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing now. But, man, there's not a lot of money in that.
Yeah. No, there's not. And that's why there's, you know, quite a few poor paupers and even fewer rich popes. But, you know, music is the... you know, the elixir of life. It's the universal language of love. It resonates with almost all of us in our native cultures, and our source is quite the it's quite the vibe.
I must agree with you. I got to, like, once I got into music and did this Rockin' Idol or American Idol for rock and roll band. So while I started understanding music from a cryptological standpoint, because, you know, my first like job in the real world, when I was 17 years old, I was a top secret cryptologist for the 533rd Military Intelligence Battalion. And a cryptologist is basically, you know, somebody who figures out codes, you know, and, We were all replaced eventually by computers, because computers can you know, literally uncover the enciphered or decrypt cryptological codes that, you know, it would take us like months to decrypt. And so to understand music from perspective of cryptology is to understand a really beautiful classified, like, science called cymatics, which is merely how inaudible frequencies change matter, and audible sounds change matter. And it's like the New Age freaks, which I call them New Age freaks, right? They, like, look at it as, like, cymatics. Oh, yeah. It's stuck in the in 5 minutes. So they see, like, the stuff that I studied, I don't know, as a intelligence operative and a nuclear biological chemical warfare specialist, or a Green Beret.
Uh-huh.
They see that stuff, and I'm talking about musicians. They see it as, like, almost an aspect of how to heal a sick culture. And, man, I've always only been humbled by musicians. And everything that I've ever done, whether it was an intelligence agent or a Green Beret, I feel that hanging around music has been more powerful to understand the reality of our world than anything else that I've ever experienced.
Well,
it's nice to be around music.
Yeah, well, the last time you and I hung out together, we had... brother Tim's stepping up to the mic, and we were making music here in the studio.
Hey, aloha, my brother. You know, hapa.
Hey, man.
Hey, how are you doing, man? I hear that you're doing good in your endeavors, and I'm totally into syncopation and pulse and rhythm and beat, man. And it sounds like you're definitely on a beat path, and really enjoy that you're doing that, and just hearing all that you're putting out there. What's that?
Yeah, man, I know who this is. It took me a minute to recognize your voice, but then I realized, hey, man, I get to spend some, like, Wahana time with you, brother.
Hey, totally. And thank you so much, you know, for chiming in with us, you know, as always. Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. Today has been a very unique day for myself as well, too. And coming into the studio, man, just to chill, taking a breath, and hearing your voice. Man, it brings a smile to my face, you know, because I remember when you're here and just how you were sharing your enlightenment, you know, with us. And also your passion, the intensity of just, you know, your visions. you know, and what your intentions were to try to help the world in general, you know, as well as when you were just trying to help the island of Kauai by putting out your good works and attempting to run to bring vision, you know, to the island, to get people to look at a different perspective when you were running in the mayoral, you know, campaign, you know, and that was pretty awesome too, you know. So I totally, you know, give my highest applause, you know, for the continuation, you know, for where you're going and what you're doing. You know, you're still just always, you know, a force. Here on the computer comes up as I'm saying this. You're forceful, my brother. That's what I want to say. You're forceful, nice. You know, and that's awesome, you know. And it's going in a great direction. And I think one day, you know, people are going to tune into this truly on all different levels, you know, and especially if you're going to be dealing with, you know, in the music world. I mean, what better way to connect with people in their hearts and just bringing joy, hopefully, you know, to those listeners that are out there. And once again, grooving to that force, you know. So thank you. And it's really a pleasure to hear your voice, my man.
Well, thank you, man. That's very kind. I hope that, I don't know, it's cool to reconnect because Kauai is my hometown. I am the direct descendant of John Keawe Lake, the Prince Keawe of Kauai. So I cannot not resonate with the power and existence of an island that can literally share with the world an essence of aloha that it does not know yet exists. So it's always a wonderful pleasure to connect with my home roots.
You are, brother. You're always Ohana. You know that. Regardless of where you are, where you're at in the, you know, space and time, you're definitely always Ohana with us.
How about we're going to play something, if you will, a little outro. This is On Maui Yesterday. Resonate with this.
Yeah.
Blowers on Maui, if you will, demonstrating their aloha for the land and the people, and say no to the TPP. That's a big aole right there. And I'm not sure in Florida how much folks are talking about the TPP, that old Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement.
Friend of mine, Lindy, has said that, you know, simple injustice somewhere is greater injustice everywhere. So, it's, you know, we understand in Florida just as much as in my hometown of Kauai how devastating it is to the privileges of a simple middle class that this TPP has created such a negative outcry. Right. Because, I mean, from a perspective of political science, well, the TPP will do nothing but hurt the lower and middle classes, you know?
There we go. Blowing the horn. That's the Kahea on the island of Maui. They were gathered. And it's a pretty phenomenal thing when people get together intentionally and in solidarity with many people around the globe. Got a Hapa Hendrix, a former candidate for mayor, on the phone, calling in from Boca Raton. Hapa, I'm going to fondly say aloha, aloha oi. We welcome you back on the air in the future. I've got another scheduled phone call. I think it's going to be coming up. I might be on the phone right now. We've got another caller who wants to join us.
Yeah.
Hapa, thanks so much.
Mad love to you guys. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Mad love to you. Aloha Nui. We're going to go back to Maui. Phone lines are open at 826-7771 for folks here in the state. Off island, if you'd like to join in, 866-275-1112. We will be visiting a couple different issues. We have an event tonight that is going on. Oh, Kauai Community College. I just had it up. I'm trying to look at the right page. Here we go. We'll just take the phone call now. Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Sherry Glass from Apollo Kauai.
Well, Sherry, well, thank you for calling in and joining us on the Out of the Box show. Last night, Apollo Kauai hosted a very, I won't call it a significant community gathering, but kind of one of the largest and first ones of its kind, focused on global climate change and the steps that our local community can take or wanting to take. Can you share for listeners who weren't there, who didn't hear it on KKCR, what happened last night in Kalapaki and moving forward, what can folks anticipate or how they might be able to participate in any further action?
Well, that's our main objective is to have as many of us as possible to participate. This was supposed to be an introduction to climate change, to the scientific information about climate change, how it's affecting Kauai now, and what the predictions are. And we had Dr. Stephen Taylor from KCC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very dramatic. There's really no question about climate change, and it's already affecting us. He had graphs to show the previous 10,000 years and all the normal cycles and how all of those have changed from rainfall, winds, sea level, temperatures, everything has changed in the last 60 years. And then Ruby, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten her last name.
Pap
from CPAC.
She's, I think, a UHC grant. I was just talking to somebody this morning because she also does work with the county, so I'm not sure if it's a UH position working for the county with, is it coastal erosion?
She's a consultant for the planning department on possible effects of climate change on our whole coastal system. And she really emphasized how the predictions have accelerated so much that the predictions that the international organizations on climate change have given us have been exceeded already, and the rate of change is dramatically more than was expected.
Right.
And she's talking about what happens if we have 3 to 6 feet of sea level change, and that's not taking into account storm waves and swells and how that would inundate going inland as well as our coastal beaches. And how it might affect our aquifer, our fresh water availability. And so that was pretty dramatic as well. And then Ben Sullivan from the county, who's a sustainability and energy coordinator, talked about what the county has already put into effect to try and reduce the county's use of electricity, because they're the biggest users of electricity on the island. They're KIUC's biggest customer.
Right.
So they're making a real attempt at efficiencies all across the board for as inland transportation as well. And part of that, of course, is that study that they're doing out at the landfill to try and capture the methane that presently is just going out into the air and into the atmosphere. And possibly, if it's the volumes are great enough, they can capture it and use it as a fuel in county vehicles, which is pretty exciting and innovative. And then KIUC, of course, they've done an amazing job. I've been part of Apollo for 10 years, and our main objective was to try and help Kauai to stop burning oil and fossil fuels and start utilizing more renewable sources of energy. And KIUC has done it. Their current board and their recent boards, as well as their CEO, David Bissell, have created a situation now where Kauai, for population, we have more solar than any place in the United States. And that's pretty impressive, because a lot of places have said you can't incorporate that much solar. It won't work. And KIUC has proved that it can work. So they are now working on the next 50% of their in their goals. They have achieved 50%, and now it's the next 50%. How can we go completely 100% renewable? And so these were the presentations that we saw, and our idea is to have monthly meetings, hoping that everyone on Kauai will become interested and wish to participate however they might, with whatever interests that they have, in finding out more about all of the aspects of climate change. We want to be informed, or else we won't make informed decisions. So we're hoping to have experts in different fields to inform us about different aspects of climate change. And then what can we do? What are the actions we should take? And it really has to be all of us together making those decisions and doing those actions. And our next meeting will be August 26th and 6 to 8 in the same location at the Canoe Club in Niumalu.
Is that your regular meeting time last Wednesday of the month for Apollo Kauai?
That, we hadn't standardized that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that that will be.
And so that's August. One more time, I'm going to...
August 26th.
Okay.
6 to 8 o'clock. And it's the Canoe Club that's along that waterfront road just beyond the Anchor Cove. And we're going to be... At the end of our presentation last night, we asked people to write down what they thought were the most important issues that we should address and their interest in those issues. And so we're compiling those and finding out what do people think is the most important. And
Sherry, can you share some of those with us right now?
Yeah, the most audience participation was about what can I do? What can I personally do to help? And I think that's such a big issue because that has to do with your property, what you buy. Are you shopping wisely? Do you recycle? What do you do with your green waste? Do you use public transportation and do you support public transportation? Do you take your shopping bag to the grocery store and to Walmart or wherever you shop? There's just so much to that question. And there are a lot of conservation efficiency tips that everyone may not know about. So we're going to explore that.
Wonderful.
And then, of course, our public transportation. We need a public transportation system that's convenient and viable enough that people could take your grocery cart from the grocery store, not the big one, but your small one, and take it on the bus to go home. Otherwise, people aren't going to use the bus unless it's really convenient and you can go shopping as well as visit your doctor or whatever else you wish to do.
Right, to have more practical applications.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say this much because only about a week ago or so in the Kilauea area, we had the county bring a couple of folks, you know, that were entertaining, you know, looking at this idea of North Shore and basically the community of Kilauea, as they were saying, you know, looking at the South Shore or the south side of the island,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do these experimental projects. So I applaud the county for moving forward with this, you know, and really trying to get people to study. That is, they both came pretty much, you know, from the mainland. I think they were from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically, starting to do a study, you know, to see how to implement these things. And, of course, they came to the community to ask, well, what do you think? And I think that's the correct way to start. You know, get community input, you know, first and foremost, to see what really are the needs of that particular community or that particular location, you know, to help, you know, with their studies. And then from there, try to implement other things that they have learned from other regions and things like that. But as is always, and they told us this, Kauai on its own is completely different than any other kind of community that they've ever had the challenge of trying to study and look at, you know, because of our lifestyles here and because of just the aspect of, you know, you got two lanes, you know, basically
isolation too.
Exactly.
You know, you can't get on a highway and go to the next state.
Well, And the next thing that they, or one of the most important things, you know, that was brought up as a question was first and foremost, who or what are we gearing first and foremost to study for? Was it for the tourist or was it for the true local that is living here? You know, and how are we going to accommodate them so that we can get them out of their vehicles, you know, and how are we going to implement this whole plan in such a way to go forward?
Yeah, that was a question a young woman brought up at the meeting was, what about the idea of controlling the number of
rental vehicles?
Rental vehicles.
Yeah. That made good sense.
That's a great one.
And we realized that Joanne brought up the idea that in order to do that, we have to provide a viable alternative.
Right.
So that's where the planning is going, and that's where people can really participate in giving their ideas.
Right, sure. Because with those ideas, a lot of times you get some phenomenal
Absolutely.
Solutions, you know, when you put a lot of minds together working cohesively and collectively on one focus.
Well, and one of the things that I just want to applaud Apollo Kauai, Zero Waste Kauai, your panelists and the 100 folks that did make it out there and the folks that listened. I want to let people know that the broadcast that was held from 6 to 8 last night, I think, will be posted on the Kauai Community Radio website
you.
And that we might be able to read broadcast that either on our regular times, but you would, more importantly, whenever you want to go and listen to it, you can go to www.kkcr.org and be able to listen to it at your leisure. Download it, do whatever you do. But I want to appreciate, acknowledge your efforts in bringing folks together to talk about these issues and then to carry on the discussion. Because I know even though I didn't go, I had a number of conversations with people afterwards that either didn't go either but listened or did go. And it just is this kind of stuff that we need to continue to engage in, is these discussions and then be able to take action based upon the best information we have. Sherry, are you available to I have a caller has a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, thanks so much for holding on. We have Sherry Glass from...
I'm not a scientist, so...
No, thanks for your disclaimer. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Sherry, you were there last night at
New
Malu.
Yes.
Okay, I was listening on air, and I thought everything was going pretty good. I was glad for all the information. And then someone had asked a question about overpopulation, and it just turned the direction of the meeting kind of negative. I was wondering if you had any comments on that.
I think because population is a question that none of the people who were presenting, it's not their expertise. And so I think they felt like it wasn't a question that they could really answer. If we had a tenth of the population on the planet that we have now, we probably wouldn't be having climate change. But we do have climate change.
Exactly.
And we do have 7 billion plus on the planet.
We have a huge problem. And
yes.
The theme of the meeting was everybody's in the same canoe.
Yes.
And for someone to come out and say, well, I'm going to toss you out of the canoe. We're overpopulated.
Yes,
I just
right.
Thought
which
it was
one of
very
us are
negative.
You going to toss?
I just thought it was kind of negative, you know.
Well,
that's all I
have
to say.
That's okay. The whole thing.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate that.
All right.
Right on for sharing that. And you know, Sherry, I know that you suggested that the panelists aren't experts in that field, but obviously when we talk about sustainability, when we talk about the challenges that the future holds for our planet, the numbers represent themselves. The science, the evidence would suggest that we're past that point of
diminishing return.
Right.
That's right.
That we do have millions that are living in poverty, that we have famine across the globe, that we have a disparity of wealth. And these are all interconnected.
And the Union of Concerned Scientists say that we can make these changes and produce less carbon. But if we continue to produce more people, then those people will be producing more carbon. So it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a real difficult situation. Because none of us want to say, well...
You can't have kids.
Yeah.
It really comes down to, okay, so who's going to make that pronouncement? And as somebody suggested, you know, in the conversation I had, is that, you know, if there's 180 members in a Somali family, that 180 isn't going to consume the same amount of resources that 6 Americans in that family are going to consume. And there's a disparity there, and that we need to kind of reconcile that.
I think that's a point that Stephen Taylor made, is that China has just now reached the point of pollution that we have, but we only have less than a third of the population.
Mm-hmm.
That the United States, people in the United States, we are really responsible for a good part of climate change. And so we're the ones who are going to have to make the changes in our lifestyles.
I agree wholeheartedly with that, Sherry. You know, I mean, Hi, the machine has kind of kept us so that we go in this one direction. And now that we've reached that point of critical demise, you know, for the world and as the planet as a whole, now we're going to sit there and try to tell other upcoming nations that are trying to strive for the same kind of lifestyle that we all have here, no, you can't do that because we've learned through the process of having the good life that we have gone too far, and you can't do that. So how are you going to make that or find that amicable point where they realize that, you know, because we've had the good life for so far, but we've overexhausted everything, and now we're telling these upcoming nations and, you know, places around the world, no, you can't have this because we screwed it up for you.
Yeah.
And they're looking at you like, well, how does that work, gang?
And that's why I think we have such an opportunity here. You know, Kauai is unique. We are unique. And most of us live here because we love this island. And I think we could be a model for how we could have the good life, but have it be sustainable.
Well, the model was there, though, Sherry. I mean, 2,000 years ago, and what did we do with it? Somebody came in, tried to impress or place upon the people that had the ultimate model for us of sustainability out in the middle of nowhere for 2,000 plus years, and they did quite well until the westernized thought came in and introduced something totally new, and since then it's been diminishing or going downhill ever since.
But I think, you know, I have Hawaiian friends who use cell phones and who like computers. I think we have to do it with the reality that we have right now. We have to make these changes slowly and carefully and in an informed way.
But Sherry, if you're saying slowly and carefully, do we have that much time?
Well, that was the most dramatic thing that Dr. Taylor said. The carbon we are producing right now, the CO2 that we're producing right now, is going to last for 1,000 years.
Aye.
So that's beyond the seventh generation.
It is. But if we plant more trees, we can sit there and suck up all that good stuff, can we not?
We can, yes.
See?
That's one.
We can counteractivate this. There is a way to do this.
This is what I'm seeing.
Yes.
That we can, but we've got to work together on it. You know, we all have to participate.
I'm behind this, sister.
Here's where the challenge comes up for all of us. Not just Apollo Kauai, not just the county or KIUC, because, you know, obviously there's some collaboration involved in getting the words out, whether it's through incentives, penalties, but how do we get, if you will, the 120 cars that are waiting in line at Jack in the Box for their meal, how do we get them to consider the possibility of another model?
And that's the real question, Jimmy. That's really the question. And that's why we want to have these meetings to get everybody's ideas about how we can do that and also bring in some local experts and experts from afar who can give us ideas and options on how we can handle this, how we can do this. Because we do have to change that. We can't have lines of cars unless those cars are electric.
But even then, you know, you got to put rubber onto the car, you know, and when you get, you know, all of these things,
well, I mean,
like you said,
agree.
Resources, you know, they go on and on and
it's
on, you know.
It's a step in the right direction.
It is. I'll agree with that.
And back to the suggestion, well, you know, how do we kind of limit the number of rental cars? And from part of that secondary discussion, somebody said, well, you know, that's not a bad idea. Maybe we couldn't get rid of all the rental cars, but we could make them all electric.
Yes.
And I was like, well, there you go. There's the compromise.
But you're still going to be in traffic jams. You know what I mean? What's quality of life at that point?
That's the time you start riding your bike. That's the time when when it gets so uncomfortable that you don't want to be in traffic any longer. So you decide to.
Oh, man. Just stay at home. Just stay at home. Lock yourself in the house. I'm not going nowhere.
No, get on your bike.
I like that idea.
Go for a walk.
Stay in your ahupua'a. Don't go nowhere else.
I was telling somebody recently that I used to think the ideal weekend for me was not going anywhere. And that if I didn't have to get in my vehicle, if I didn't have to go to a store, if I didn't have to get the wallet out and make the transaction, that was a beautiful weekend for me. And I still rank that as a high, as a very relaxing weekend for me.
So that says that our homes have to be our refuge. Our home should be a place where we really want to be.
Right. Yeah, but if you have barking dogs, what do you do then? No, I joke with you. I want to, and Sherry, hang on here while I do this, that you are listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. We are here broadcasting on the beautiful North Shore of Kauai at K224CQ in Anahola and K284AL in Halaiva. You're also listening to us on this broadband of 90.9 FM Hanalei, 91.9 island-wide, 92.7 in the Anahola area, Moloa'a as well, on the island of Oahu, the gathering place. Will listen to us at 104.7 FM, and on the cable guide, you're going to find us at 95.1, streaming worldwide at kkcr.org. I am listening to Sherry Glass. Kind of give us a little bit of a wrap-up from yesterday's event called, what did we call it? Kauai Climate Change and a Call to Action. He Moku, He Wa'a, He Wa'a, He Moku. An island is a canoe. A canoe is an island. It was a panel discussion that was in the canoe hale there in Kalapake for the Niamalu Canoe Club. Next month, Wednesday, the 26th at 6 to 8 p.m., there will be a follow-up meeting for folks who weren't able to attend or would like to continue to engage in the work that it's going to take for us to make the change. And if we're in a canoe, we're preparing to tack.
We have to make a
shift.
Exactly. The currents of time are shifting on us, so we got to flow with it.
Yeah, we're changing the direction we're stroking, but we have to stroke together.
It's so true. That's the way we make progress.
This is true. So how can folks get in touch, or what's the best way for people to be, besides next Wednesday or next month, last Wednesday?
If anyone has questions, they can give me a call at 822-7351. And that's our information number for Apollo.
One more time. I'm going to write this one down this time.
822-7351.
7351.
Thank you so much for all you do, sister.
And Sherry, is there a website or anything? Do you guys have a Facebook page?
Apollo.org.
ApolloKauai.org. All righty. That's fantastic. Was this, if you will, the largest Apollo Kauai event that you've mustered up?
The one that we did to inform people about solar PV might have been a little bit bigger.
Well, you know, as you guys are doing this, and to help KIUC, I think it would be a great thing if they really tried to demand or put it into the county building or planning, however they're doing it, that from here on out, and not only the new homes that they're attempting to build, but literally to retro everybody with solar hot water on their roofs.
Well, we were able to mandate it for new construction.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing that.
And there are... Now KIUC is doing the, I've forgotten what the name of the program is, it's on bill financing. So if you want to put a solar hot water system on your home, KIUC, through an agreement with them, they will reduce your bill. But they will take part of the
the savings that you're gaining as payment for the solar. And so you are paying off your solar with your bill. And your bill is guaranteed not to be any higher than it was before. And the way they have it figured, it always comes out to be less, your electric bill. So,
but once you've paid off this,
make it possible for everyone to.
Okay, but once you've paid off your system, meaning if you opted, then you really get some increased savings.
Then it's free. Your hot water is free.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that will be reflected in your bill from KIUC as well, too.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. See?
Yeah.
That's a win-win. I like that.
So they're really, you know, we're trying to create as many incentives as possible for people to be able to do it.
And that's just a matter of us doing it.
Yep.
Choosing to do it.
Choosing to do it.
We've got choice here.
Yes.
But the sooner we do it, the sooner we help out everybody and everything.
Solar hot water is the smartest thing anybody could do to help themselves in their electric bill.
Oh.
Because it's automatic 30 to 50% of your bill.
Think about that. 30 to 50%.
It depends on if you have air conditioning or, you know, what your other electrical needs are. But for the ordinary person.
Yeah, 30 to 50%. That's a lot. Yeah, let's just, for example, I pay $100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
30 to 50% I could save if I put on one of these hot water systems on my solar hot water instead of using that. And let's just take the round figure of a 50% because, you know, I'm an average guy. I'm not running my air conditioner, this, that, whatever.
Right.
You know, but 50% of $100, that brings my bill down to only $50
a month. $50. And
that's phenomenal.
The average time to pay it off
is
about 5 years. Your system should last at least 15 years. We replaced our first system when it was 22 years old.
Right. Really, so, if it's done correctly, and if the installers, that is the contractors that put these up and everything, you know, if they do them correctly, you're right. Well into the 20-year bracket on most of these systems.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And so for at least 10 years and maybe longer, you have free hot water.
Oh, are we? Okay, we'll put you on. If we get disconnected.
Here we go, sorry. We've got a little phone tag here going on at the same time. Both phone guys are talking, and our host is...
just left out there. You know, we got a phone call that would like to get into this conversation. Are you willing to take that, Sherry?
Sure.
Oh, thank you. Caller, you're on.
Okay. Aloha, Sherry.
Hi.
I just think you're just getting a little bit ahead of yourself because a lot of solar systems that I've seen installed, they take a lot of money to get it up and going.
Are you thinking of solar PV?
You, if you're going to do solar on top of your roof for your hot water, well, you got to swap out your hot water heater to make it accept solar technology. You know, the AC plugged in, hot water heater you had is not going to work with a solar application. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I just wanted to give you guys all a big shout out because I know about this stuff. And also, when you go up on your roof and you're putting holes in your roof, especially in a condominium situation where there is patterns of, okay, we're going to replace your roof this year. A particular homeowner wants to go and put solar on a roof. Well, you know, who's to pay for taking that solar off so that you can put on a new roof? And then number two, anytime you put a puka or a hole in a roof, there's going to be leakage, you know.
Well, we've had it for about 30 years and no leakage. So,
well, that's for an individual home, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so
obviously there are, if you will, kind of logistics that have to be kind of worked through, engineering issues that need to be worked through, you know, the whole kind of issue of, well, who's going to be responsible for that?
Well, in a condominium situation, I would just say that you're putting you and your neighbor at risk because if it's installed, or someone's asleep at the wheel and it's leaking and the dry rot moves over into your roof,
Are you aware that all the new low-income housing that the county has built, they all have solar, hot water systems?
No, I'm all in favor of solar. I'm just saying that I think that right now you guys are painting a bubble of saying that is such a great thing, whereas you better have, like, I don't know, what, $18,000 to $20,000 just before
That's the kind of money you're thinking of for solar PV, for solar photovoltaic, but for solar hot water.
So for a house of three, just for,
average for a family of four, think KIUC was talking about $7,000.
See, $7,000. I've been here 27 years. I don't know how many of you got an extra $7,000, but, I don't.
Well, that's why they initiated this program of being able to pay it off on your bill. But, I'm not an engineer.
That's amortized, over the year, for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it does come down cost-wise, so you don't have to punch out that extra $7,000 that nobody's got, right? I hear you.
And for real, to take advantage of these programs, the homeowner is going to have to put out the money, and then they recoup over the years. And then also, I keep bringing back because Hawaii is a lot of condominiums and if you're going to put a puka in a roof, that roof is a joined with like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other units. And, for some reason, the board of directors allowed you to do, solar, then it can, I'm just saying there's a lot of,
You're painting a big hypothetical here, I think.
I don't know. I've seen the hypothetical in.
I agree with you in certain places.
I'm just gonna advocate that means there's plenty of jobs for installers, whether it's a roof.
Hallelujah, as well as for the guys that fix them afterwards, the dry rot.
The crew.
Yeah, thank you, brah. Don't put us down now. We need work here.
If that's the game, then.
Well, it's all part of the game, of course not, but.
I think, caller, you're right, that it's oftentimes that we can over-promise and under-deliver.
Right.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
And I think if that's what you're saying, I agree. We could look at green energy and the Koloa Green Harvest camp that KIUC has just been all goo-goo-gaga about, and how much is it delivering right now?
Right.
It's 10-7 for a while until they figure out, who's responsible for the boiler.
Hey, the last thing I'd like to say is that for the last 6 months, I've lived off the grid. I spent about $15 a week on gasoline to run my generator. I get my own water, and it's not that hard, you guys. You can do it.
Well, thanks for inspiring us. We appreciate that.
Really?
Okay.
And
now,
Sherry,
if we can change that
for
to biodiesel or something else, that'd be great.
Okay. Hello.
Thanks.
Exactly.
There we go. We appreciate, Sherry, you joining us here on Out of the Box, talking about yesterday's call to action in the meeting that you had, as well as encouraging others to join the movement and to get involved and engaged. There's a number of things that folks are going to be able to do in their backyard. And then there's some things that we're all going to have to do, that we're going to have to exert some political influence. We're going to have to exert some financial influence and, make some compromises and perhaps ratchet down the pleasure or comfort zone for a number of folks with an extra car or an extra refrigerator, and try to make more for folks that might not have as much.
Thank you, Jimmy. That's well spoken.
Well, thank you, Sherry, for joining us here.
Truly.
And we'll look forward to having other members. I know that I put the kaheya out for folks from the panel and from Apollo Kauai to join us on the discussion. It was short notice. I look forward to others being able to join Jonathan Jay or Felicia Cowden when they host the show, Brother Dan O'Flaherty, who's going to be in the booth, as well as others who are concerned about these issues and want to help get the word out, and also assist Apollo Kauai and Zero Waste Kauai in the work that they're doing, advocating for a greener and more sustainable Kauai.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, Sherry.
Bye.
Aloha. And it is about 15 minutes after the hour. I've got to do a couple of the top-of-the-hour kind of stuff because, we neglected to do it all. But here we go, just to get it running.
Aloha, Josh.
Aloha.
I'm speaking with Josh Thome. He's the director of the new film, Aina, which is going to have its world premiere here on Kauai this weekend. I thought this would be a great opportunity to talk with you a little bit, and maybe you could tell us about your background and how you came to find out about these issues on Kauai and what inspired you to make this film.
Well, I'm sorry, Josh, but we're going to cut that one short. That was last week's Out of the Box show. It was an interview with Jonathan Jay and Josh Thom, who was one of the influential people in the movie Aina, That Which Feeds Us. I don't know if you had a chance to see that, if you were one of the few that made it to Kauai Community College, the Performing Arts Center, this weekend. I didn't. I had other things going on at that time, so I missed out. But if you went, I'd love to hear what you thought about it and how it affected you, or some of the thoughts that you took away from that. But I do want to get back to our underwriters and let folks know that this Out of the Box show is made possible by the good folks at Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care.
KKCR.
Oh, I'm doing it again. We're going to have to hit the right button this time, kiddo. This is good. How do you stop this? There we go.
Featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at HawaiiCompassionateCare.com.
Yeah, one more time. We're going to try to get this one right.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama Aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Right on. Mahalo's for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This topic of climate change brings a song to mind. Bear with me. We're going to get another caller up here. We're going to maybe be speaking with Daniel Erickson from Kauai Community College, who was in the booth last night, in the Kanuhale at Kalapaki. But yeah, we've got a little Grateful Dead acknowledging their 50th year. This isn't from 50 years ago. It was from Halloween 1980, Radio City Music Hall. I'll try to get that one up for you. A little cold rain and snow for you. There we go. Ain't going to be treated this whole way. We'll get back to Jerry and the boys from Halloween 1980 at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. I'm going to bring up our phone caller, Daniel Erickson. Are you there, Dan?
I am here.
Right on. Thank you for joining us. Dan, for listeners that might not be familiar with you or might not remember that you ran for KIUC Board of Directors, not last election, but the election before, and you also teach at Kauai Community College. Just share briefly with the listeners a little bit about your background and why you went last night to the climate change panel discussion.
All right. I'm educated in biology and chemistry and renewable science, so I kind of went to college for. And on Kauai here, I use that, and I teach a couple classes at KCC. So last night, Kauai had a climate summit, which I think would be appropriate to go check it out. Dr. Taylor, another of the faculty members over there at kind of a simplified.
Uh-oh, Dan, are you on a cell line? We are losing a little bit. Not sure if you're in a better spot or.
Yeah, okay. My house gets horrible reception. But
sorry about that.
Anyway, we so Dr. Taylor was just talking about climate change, the potential aspects that could affect Hawaii, and just had some of the KUC board members there. Had Ben Sullivan with the county. And overall, Kauai is doing a pretty good job of getting renewable energy projects going and online, and justifiably so. We pay the most for electricity in the country, so it makes more sense here.
Mm-hmm.
And the talk was just kind of an easygoing talk about kind of what's going on and in the county on that level, and then also kind of on the state level, and then on the global level a little bit as well. So definitely informative, and sounds like they might want to continue that every month or every other month or something like that to help get people educated and informed of what's going on, which I think is good.
And would you consider that being a good positive aspect of last night's gathering, was that there is plans for some follow-up?
Yeah, that was definitely good. And then people that, you know, just haven't been in tune with what's going on the island as far as renewable energy projects, kind of even more simply, like, what's the difference with a renewable energy resource and a non-renewable energy resource? Mm-hmm. Why is it important, or why is one better than the other?
Right, gave
you some insight to that.
In last night's discussion, I know that they talked a little bit about methane and methane gas recovery, as well as waste to energy and burning trash or burning biogas. What are your thoughts on some of those technologies, and what do they pose, or what last night, how was it brought up and how was it addressed?
Yeah, well, I actually ended up asking a question about the landfill gas, which mm-hmm. I think is just it's a no-brainer. To me, that we be harvesting that. I mean, it's either harvest it, clean it up, and use it for something, or flare it off and just burn it off to get rid of it. Might as well utilize it.
Sure. And the county's investigating in ways that they might be able to use that in their local vehicle fleet?
Yeah, it sounded like they had some buses. My question, yeah, so, and then I was just curious because I heard there was going to be a kind of like a lag period where they might have been burning something, but that might have been some misinformation that I got. So I kind of was talking to Ben about that. I didn't get the whole story on it, so I'll have to follow up with him later. But the fact that we're going to be capturing some and utilizing it is good. Good thing for the island. It's another way that we can help diversify the different ways that we're, you know, producing energy here renewably, mm-hmm. which is great.
And have you heard any about the green energy, Koloa, Knudsen Gap project?
I've heard a few different times that, you know, one time they had it up and going and they were kind of sinking it into the grid. And then since then, I don't know if there's been some issues getting that going, but I haven't heard of it being on. And I don't think it is currently on quite yet, but it should be happening soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe somebody, Akamai listener, might be able to share some of that. I understand that it's offline and that there's like a warranty issue with either the turbine or the boiler.
Oh, you know what? In fact, I do remember that it wasn't producing at the efficiency rate that it was warrantied to. So instead of starting it up and start running it at a rate that was under what they were anticipating, they just said, well, we got to get it fixed to get that percentage up.
So, you know,
I don't know if it's in the turbine or what.
If you will, just a glitch, you know, it'll be back online hopefully in the future. Some people brought that up as an issue of why are we going that route, when we produce other, if you will, green waste. Should we be using other fuel stock?
And, you know, there's a few different problems with that. We live on the ocean. There's salt. Salt and metal don't really get along sometimes too well. You get a corrosive property there.
And remember,
if we just start taking any kind of, you know, driftwood, all different kinds of things in there, it just, and there's all different moisture levels, it's not as simple as it sounds. At first we're going to use what they would call a homogeneous feedstock, something that burns exactly the same. You can predict what your energy per capita per ton that you burn or per pound that you burn, so you can run the system based on that kind of a load being produced. If you start throwing all different other kinds of things in there, it's going to mess up the efficiency. But like I said, maybe in the future we could start diversifying on the feedstock. But as far as to start up with, you gotta, you know, they're going to do it with a single homogeneous feedstock.
And we got a question for you, Dan.
Yes.
So, Dan, I mean, and here too, I'm not trying to be facetious or anything, and I know that, you know, a lot of people have been looking at this concept of trying to do, you know, bioremediation in one sense, but I'm thinking of like, you know, if, and I'm going to put this word out there, if hemp were utilized and you can use that as one of those stocks that you can burn thereafter, you know, that's like you said, on a homogenistic kind of thing, you know, where it's definitely there and it can burn in a certain way and give you the intensity that you need. Is that a viable source?
You know, I would have to go back into the text and look at, like, what its energy content per ton would be.
Right.
Because there, to start with, you want something that has a dense energy content. So that way when you're hauling it around, it doesn't cost you as much to haul energy content. Because if it has a lower energy content, it might take two trucks to bring to the biomass plant what one truck would bring if it's a more dense energy source. So you start to get into logistics expenses and stuff like that if you choose one that has a lesser energy density.
Okay, but what I'm also looking at, though, is the growth period of this and the turnaround versus something like a tree, which can take decades, you know, to get to a sizable amount to where, okay, now we can use that as part of the source, you know, for this process. You know, so I'm thinking of a crop or something that has a very quick life cycle to help. And so, like, you're right, maybe it may be more expensive initially, but in the long run, if you're getting twice as much or four times more in yield waiting, you know, for that versus the decade of something of a tree that can then be used or utilized, you know, at that point in time. You know, see the comparison there that I'm going with?
I totally see your point. I wasn't on the engineering process, but those guys, you know, took into consideration a lot of things, and I'm sure that they chose the resources based on, like, educated assumptions of what's going to be make energy the cheapest for us and the best. But I don't, like I said, I don't have all those numbers to give you an answer on that.
Right. And then the next thing I would go to is, once again, it could be this very same product, quote-unquote hemp, used as a biodiesel element instead of using, you know, pet or fossilized fuels to do the same thing, to turn a generator, you know, and utilize it that way, or to create steam even then to, you know, rotate a generator, you know, to keep that going, to create the same kind of thing. So there's such a multi-versatile function here, you know, for one particular element, or in this instance, we're talking about the crop of hemp, you know, and that's just on the bare surface. You know, there's so many other things too. I mean, to me, if we're trying to be sustainable and also going to a realm of where we want to be, what am I trying to think of even, you know, multi-industrialists, you know, so that we can get jobs and things for the folks here at home, you know, aside from just working fields in a monocropping kind of an element, you know, and using yeah. some nasty pesticides and things of this nature while you're working with that. I mean, God bless them. People got to support their families. I'm not going to go yeah. to that level, okay?
Well,
but I'm saying if you have something else to give them that, then you're talking a textile industry. Then you're also talking about a culinary industry or just even food production. You know, and so many varied things off of one product that could grow unbelievably here in the climate yeah. that we have to support us with. So why aren't we doing it?
Well,
even in a test facet.
Hey, how about letting them answer the question?
Me,
thank
me,
you, Tim.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting and what you brought up that makes sense is that's what you have to do. You have to have, if you can start making one product do many things for you, then you kind of have co-products instead of byproducts. And when you have co-products, those products are coming from the same source, but they're generating you income in multiple aspects of the same thing. So that's very important for all of, like, renewable energy and especially biofuel production and stuff like that, because like most of the plastics and stuff that we have in the world, those are coming from the petroleum industry.
Exactly.
Those are things that were that weren't useful, but they made a use for it and then started generating income off of that. So that is a very important aspect of these renewable resources going. So the fact if it can be used for two or three things, but what we are trying to do is we're trying to produce energy. And what we want is we want to get the best crop, best growth rate to produce the most energy with the least piece of land used. And engineers that came up here, they thought albizia, which is a very, very fast-growing tree, and eucalyptus, which is also a very fast-growing tree.
I'm sorry, Dan, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it would be the two trees, the albizia and the eucalyptus, would be the best suited over here. But I kind of got a appointment going on.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you taking time. I know that you also are going to have some classes coming up here this fall semester at Kauai Community College.
Absolutely. If any of you are really interested in kind of renewable energy, why renewable energy is important, how we currently produce electricity, you want to kind of see some of that stuff, we got this fall we got a class coming up. It's called Energy 101. It's a class at Kauai Community College. We take field trips. Check out the solar fields. We're going to go check out the biomass plant, different things to kind of get you introduced to energy. And it's obvious there's going to be jobs in this field. Hawaii said they're going to be 100% renewable energy powered by 2045. That's an ambitious goal. It's the only state to have made that commitment. So there's obviously going to be a large influx of jobs to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we already saw that we had 20 people on island hired at the biomass plant. Some of them are trained at KCC.
Right.
Nice. So these are things that are going to produce jobs for people.
And Dan, before you go, we have one caller who had a question for you. If you
Absolutely.
Could hang on one
yep.
second.
Yep, yep.
All right, caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. It's not so much a question as it is kudos to all the people on Kauai that recycle, and I go over there to watch it get, you know, where the kala comes out. And the guys working in the industry, it's not an easy job. The guys doing it, you know, it's pilau. It's dirty. You gotta wear rubber gloves. You guys drinking Coronas, stop throwing limes in the bottles. You know.
But it is hard work, and it's
big, you know. And right. you guys like try to blow it over, like, oh, well, these natural resources are available to us, and we're gonna biotech this or whatever, you know. What I'm saying is that there's hard work involved in playing.
There we go.
Well, thank you
okay.
so much, yeah. caller.
Thank you. And,
okay.
Dan, thank you again for
Dan.
Joining us. Appreciate the call in. We got a number of ghosts in the machine. We got 25 minutes left of this out of the box special. If you want to get on the phone, lines are open, 826-7771. Just dropped a couple callers, so please call back. We're fat, fat-thumbed already. Done it a number of times. We'll do it again, so don't take it personal if we cut you off. We are equal opportunity offenders that way. I want to play a council hearing or a council agenda. Thank you, John Gordon, for providing us with this. And we'll get to some more music and more conversation, talking about things in the air tonight. Hey, what happened?
County Council report for the week of July 27th.
I hit him.
Apparently, there will not be a council meeting this week, as there was no agenda posted on the council's website. For more information, visit their website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
All right, on mahalo's John Gordon for that. No council meeting. Maybe you guys are aware that the council is considering a couple different things. County manager style of government. That's something that's being considered. Also, reneging on the people's choice for terms limits. I think the voters a couple years back decided that term limits were a good thing. And I think Vice Chair Ross Kagawa has put it on the table to reconsider that, and maybe there's some value in having long-term experienced legislators on the council. So that's something that might be something you'd be interested in. You might want to follow the agenda and provide public testimony for either county managers, term limits, or barking dogs. Yep, there we go. I guess Councilmember Kagawa's got some issues with the current dog ordinance and that it's unfairly enforced or difficult to enforce. I'm not quite sure of all the ins and outs of the issues, but it is one that's being considered as well. Barking dogs being a problem for some neighbors who have some dogs or neighbors that aren't too neighborly, and that can be problematic for some. Let me see if we got a phone call coming on up. Here we go. We don't have them online. We're going to be announcing a event that's happening very shortly this evening at Kauai Community College. Oh, if I just leave these pages alone, I could have right in front of me. It's presented by Seeds of Truth. It is a statewide island education tour titled Our Right to Health, Environmental and Food Safety, Glyphosate, a Probable Carcinogen. So for folks that are interested, tonight is the last night on Kauai, July 30th at Kauai Community College, the Performing Arts Center. If you want more information, give Mickey a call at 651-9603. I was hoping to have somebody call in, talk story a little bit about the event tonight, and so we might get some of that going. It's also going to be broadcast on this radio station, Kauai Community College, Kauai Community Radio. The featured speakers are Dr. Stephanie Seneff. She's a senior research scientist, computer science and artificial intelligence at MIT. That's the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And Dr. Judy Carman. She's a scientist from Australia. She's the director of Institute of Health and Environmental Research in Adelaide, Australia. They will both be speaking tonight. After that, they are moving on to, I'm not sure what island is next. If I look closely, Hawaii Island has already happened. Oahu's next, July 31st and August 1st. You should be able to find out where those events are happening. If you were to go to the Shaka Movement, their page, or GMO Free Hawaii, we'll try to get that up for our Oahu listeners before the show is over. I believe we're joined by Felicia Cowden on the line. Felicia, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you for patiently waiting. Thank you for calling in. You're going to be helping with tonight's broadcast?
Yes. We're here. We're just about all set up at the Performing Arts Center. It's going to be a great show. I want to also add Dr. Lauren Pang, who has so much skill and ability, and he is with the Department of Health for Maui, that when he speaks, he's representing himself.
Thank you, Dr. Lauren Pang, for joining. Now, tell us a little bit about Dr. Stephanie Seneff. You've interviewed her a number of times and had her on your show. Tell us a little bit about her background.
Well, Stephanie Sennett is a really great person, and she's walking by. Say hi to the listeners.
Say hello.
You're on the air. That's her just walking in with her great husband, Victor.
Good timing.
And so Stephanie works at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and she's really in the computer science field, and so she's working with statistics and looking at corollaries. Corollaries aren't the same thing as causation, but there's many, many layers of it. And so I've seen her presentation and where it's tightly overlapping. And she's looked at all the different ways that there's a corollary between certain illnesses and this rise of using glyphosate, which is Roundup. You know, so this is people in their own backyard, mm-hmm. not just big agriculture. So she did a very detailed presentation. There will be three speakers tonight, and so I'm not totally sure of the order. Lauren Pang, he has an overview. Stephanie is very detailed on that particular chemical and then how it impacts inside the intestine. I will let her share those pieces because she'll be on it at, you know, the whole event will be on at 7.
Uh-huh. And Dr. Judy Carman?
Dr. Judy Carman has done extensive research at just looking at pigs or hogs with the feed that they have. We've mm-hmm. had Bob Streit on before who has done similar studies. And when they look at how inflammation in the stomachs and the sterility or the infertility that happens in the pigs, there's been somewhat of a collapse in that industry as the animals don't have strong fertility. So, she, you know, when in her studies, they feed the different animals. Some are a control group with all holistic, more or normal grain, natural grain, and then others with the genetically modified grain. And then they look at their organs really, you know, after they're dead, they pull the stomachs out and mm-hmm. them and the pictures anyway that are out there online are really very striking. I do want to say I noticed Kawhi Eclectic really had a lot of fun talking about this issue, and she was picking up some websites, and GMO Judy Carman and is not actually Judy Carman's website. She has several fan sites that basically presents some of her information, but I don't believe she has her own website. She's got a lot of reports that are out there in science journals and mm-hmm. stuff like that. She's a really good speaker and a very comfortable person to listen to. All of them do a very good job.
Nice. And, well, thank you to Seeds of Truth and GMO Free Kauai, as well as GMO Free Hawaii Island, the Hawaii Center for Food Safety, the Shaka Movement, and the Kokua Co-op Market. All of these are different community groups that are helping to sponsor this educational tour of the state. Felicia, you and Jonathan will be helping with the broadcast tonight from 7 to 9 o'clock. Is that our scheduled time?
I believe that is.
Uh-huh. So mahalos to Dove and for Slim for opening up a little community space during their radio show. I also put an email out that I think you were able to join in the conversation going back to last night's climate change summit. And I anticipate that you also cover that story as it continues to, you know, present itself as one of great concern.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure to be bringing that story out as well. That had Dan Ten Boothingate from Kauai Island Utility Cooperative, Dr. Stephen Taylor from Kauai Community College. He presented the depth of the science.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Papp, who is with CDED and does the shoreline impacts and local impacts that are, you know, being anticipated. And then Ben Sullivan was in there for the county. And you know what I want to really applaud is that there was a number of policymakers and people who have...
Go ahead and name some names. I think it's important.
I see that Sue Canoho was in there, mm-hmm. from the Visitors Bureau. Mike DeHulig, he's the planning director, Joanne Yukimura, Mason Chalk.
So two council members were there. Any other elected officials?
Well, I don't think elected officials, but Eric Knudsen was in there. He's one of the founding people in green energy, the biomass plant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was, you know, Chuck Blay was there. He's a really great geologist. I mean, it was really peopled with many people. Who, mm-hmm.
And a good turnout for the event on a Wednesday night.
I would say, you know, at its fattest time, it was about, you know, 100 people kind of flowed in and out. But it had a really good turnout. I'm really hoping to see a good turnout here. Sometimes it's just the timing. I know I did go to that INA film, and I was a little disappointed to not see any of our decision makers at that one.
Mm-hmm.
But here at last night, there was a lot. And it's really always a wonderful time to be coming to the Performing Arts Center. It, you know, you can't have a bad seat. The
acoustics right.
are great. I'm looking at the stage. It's really presented well. I think when people come in here tonight, I hope people do come down, especially people who don't understand the perspective. It's really, really meaningful to learn about it. And I think if people are kind of recklessly using Roundup, it's good to, you know, just come and hear this perspective, because I think we actually probably have more dangerous applications in neighborhoods than, you know, just casual users.
Well, I think that's one of the, if you will, commonly voiced opinion that, you know, Big Ag is getting a bad rap because, you know, the interface with humans and residents occurs greater at our parks, at our schools, at our residential areas than out in the dirt roads of the old plantation lands. But at the same time, you mentioned it's reckless use, and some would argue that any use is somewhat reckless when we know what that causes.
That's right.
And the flip side is that we're in a place where things grow crazy. We don't have a winter kill with the cold freezing temperatures, and if we weren't using these crop improvement products, how would we be able to do our work? And so this is a challenge. Go ahead, Felicia.
I want to give a shout out to Ray McCormick from the Department of Transportation, mm-hmm. State Highways people, because I know they are working hard to try and find an alternative, and they spent like 2 years without using it. But, you know, you can die a long death, or you can get in a car crash. We have places like in Hyena and areas where it's sharp turn and they get tall guinea grass, you know, see somebody on the bike. It's a challenge to be able to be dealing with it. And there's many ways of trying to figure it out, but that's an easy one that's already figured out. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just wanting to acknowledge it's not just these big companies that use that.
That's right.
Stops are designed to be glyphosate resistant, and so stops that we eat are routinely sprayed with them. You know, the food that we eat is, you know,
grown with that stuff.
It's
yes, it's propagated with that stuff. Felicia, I have a caller who wants to join us, but I'm going to say goodbye to you and let you get back to the technical work of setting things up. Say hi to the folks that are there, and we look forward to hearing you and Jonathan on the air briefly before the presentation starts tonight at 7 from Kauai Community College. Thanks, Felicia, for joining us here on Out of the Box.
Okay, and thanks to all the listeners.
Thank you. We do have another caller wants to join us. We'll bring him on, and I'll let you know that presentation tonight is at Kauai Community College, and it'll start at around 7 o'clock, and that's right there in the downtown heart of Puhi. Caller, are you on the air?
Aloha, I am.
Aloha, caller. Thank you for joining us, and share what you got.
Okay, this is Victoria.
Aloha, Victoria.
I had a chance last night to go to Church of the Pacific to see the presentation that is being put on tonight at KCC. Lauren Pang was not there, but the other two amazing, amazing were. And I just want to put a shout out to the folks that have not gone to see it, even though you guys are broadcasting it, to go there tonight and see it, because along with their words, they have a presentation, and they've got some slides that are so mind-moving. They're showing slides of infants being born without brains because their mothers were in the field with glyphosate being sprayed over them while the babies were in the womb, and these children that are coming out and showing pictures of rats with tumors that have ingested glyphosate, or they actually put the glyphosate gene into the rat. So it was, I'm a gardener, and I'm a green gardener, and I work for people that you have used Roundup, and if they want me to work for them, they have to not use Roundup, because Roundup is really, really ruining not just our neighborhoods and not just the cornfields, but the entire world. So we have to start right here. We have to start in our own backyards. And my solution to Roundup is a sickle. Roundup and GM crops are all about killing weeds. Killing weeds with glyphosate, we don't need to do. Of course, sickles we can't use in big cornfields, but, you know, they haven't had Roundup, you know, for, we use other things other than Roundup, you know, for the past, you know, hundreds of years. It's just come into play. So let's get back to our sickles, and let's, each and every one of us that can, change the backyard gardener and my Filipino friends that are taught to believe that glyphosate is healthy. It's okay. You don't have to use a mask and gloves. I mean, I have talked so many people out of using it because, you know, you just have to be strong about it. And you have to hand them a sickle and say, throw your Roundup away, grab your sickle, and let's do it green. Otherwise, look what's happening to us. And our little island is a natural jewel that we can't let that happen to. We got to get these GM companies off of our island. We got to stand up and start using our sickle.
Well, there we go. I'd vote for you, ma'am.
All right.
Well, thanks for that shout out and that plug for tonight's event at Kauai Community College. Starts at 7. We will be broadcasting it, but it's probably full value if you can be there in the audience.
Right on, you guys. Thank you so much for being there.
Thank you, Victoria. Appreciate that. It is about 10 minutes before Evolve Radio comes into the house. I guess we'll get an hour of that good stuff with our favorite celebrity dove on the mic, spinning the best of his collection. Brother Tim, you got something you're going to share with us? You had that look on your face of like, I got something I want to say.
You know, thanks, Jimmy, as always. It's great to be back in the box with you again, my brother. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
And it's just always phenomenal, you know, the amounts or the array, you know, of different topics and things that you have to share, and always just trying to put out good information to bring up, you know, the better part of our, you know, the listening audience's conscious level. You know, trying to keep them informed, trying to keep them educated, where to go to get that education, you know, to learn about things that are, you know, dealing with us concerning our time here on this island, you know, and what we're doing with that time. You know, how can we put it to best use? You know, what are we really doing, you know? And we have to always sit there and reevaluate and look at basically our lives, you know. How much of a footprint are we really leaving on this island? You know, it's a small place, and it's not just something that you can stick in the sand and, you know, and the next wave going to wash it away, you know. But I'm talking on a greater scheme, a greater picture. You know, what is the legacy that we're leaving behind to this mystical, magical place that we call Kauai, that we all share as home, you know, for everybody, and not only us, but on a global perspective, you know. It is mind-boggling at times when you sit down and think about it, but at the same time, I'm so elated and live in such gratitude, you know, that I have the opportunity to be here at this moment in time, you know, to really share with all of those Kauaians out there, Kanaka Maole and others, you know, visitors alike that are here in the moment in time just to share, you know, a piece of what we consider our paradise. And I just want to put that out to everybody, you know, the listenership. Thank you so much. You know, I'm just in gratitude that we have this beautiful island and that we're all just trying to do our best to make it what it's supposed to be. And even if we have to learn some very harsh lessons in the course of getting there, let's get back to it, you know, the way it was prior to us even stepping here. So that's my thought for
you. Well, there you go. On a totally different note, thanks, Tim, for that appreciation. I want to congratulate and encourage the Kauaihao Community Little League Intermediate 5070 team that's heading to the Little League World Series in Livermore.
Yeah, they
there
did
you
it.
Go. Best of luck to you, 12 and 13-year-olds. They beat Washington for the championship of the Intermediate Western Regional Tournament in Nogales, Arizona on Wednesday. So now they're pretty stoked. According to the article in the Garden Island newspaper, right now the boys are on cloud nine, said Coach Justin Molina. I tell them to soak it up and enjoy the ride, because for most of them, this is probably the highlight of their baseball career. And you know what? It's a great thing that these young boys, there might be some girls on that team as well, that they're traveling the world, traveling the continental in the hopes of doing better. And good luck to you guys in Livermore, California. We got a phone call coming on up, but before we go there, I'm going to try to play this if I can get it going. It's a little bit about the story that Tim was talking about. This is from, I guess it's KHON TV News, but we might not be able to. There was a study regarding, I'll just read it straight off the. The work begins on Thursday to harvest the first crop from the University of Hawaii's Industrial Hemp Research Project. The field is located in Waimanalo and houses three varieties of industrial hemp: temperature zone hemp, tropical seed hemp, and then tropical fiber hemp. The initial findings from the project indicate that the tropical fiber hemp is flourishing and has grown over 10 feet tall during its crop cycle of 15 weeks. The tropical seed hemp is much shorter but is heavily producing seed, and meanwhile the temperate zone hemp is flowered and died after 8 weeks. Representative Cynthia Thielen from Kanohe Bay on Oahu, she helped lead the hemp farming movement in Hawaii, said that it's been a challenge to ease the state's restrictions on hemp growing. Quote, hemp is not a drug. Hemp is an agricultural crop that will keep our agricultural land in active production, provide a product for entrepreneurs, she said. We'll be able to build our houses out of hemp, create and not import those materials. So according to Cynthia Thielen, Representative Cynthia Thielen, she's high on the hemp. The potential for hemp to be able to eliminate some of our imports. And the article further goes to say that the project was made possible by Hawaii's Act 56, which allowed industrial hemp to be grown as a state or university research initiative. Unlike marijuana, hemp has a very low THC content, which has which is the active component that makes people feel high. And I was joking that Cynthia Thielen is high on hemp. She's just high on the prospects of what hemp might be able to do for our local economy. Experts say today's U.S. market for hemp seed oil and fiber is approximately $6 million a year. That's $600 million a year that we might be able to pump back into our local economy. So kudos to our legislators who supported that Act 56. And hopefully we have some alternatives out there to what one caller earlier suggested. Hey, maybe we want to burn that GMO corn stuff in that biofuel reactor out in Koloa. So, you know, we're open to suggestions. We're open to your ideas. It's been a great hour and 2 hour of conversation. Thanks for joining us. Hanging in there. You've got Evolve Radio coming up very, very shortly. And if Tim doesn't have anything more to say, I'm just going to say right now, aloha and a hui ho, be well. Take care, everybody. Maria, Manilea, I miss you guys. Hopefully see you this week. I'm going out with what I started with, if you will, acknowledging that climate change. Here's one from the 31st, Halloween, Radio City Music Hall, Jerry and the Boys.